Welcome to another episode of the Growth Focus Podcast, where we bring together tech leaders from all across the globe to share their time, their insights, and their expertise to help you grow your businesses in tech. My name is Gary Lafferty, your host on this show and CEO and founder of Growth Focus Partnerships, where we help tech leaders build far bigger and deeper relationships, close bigger and better deals, and be seen and heard as the authority in their field rather than just their expert. I'm really looking forward to today's guest and today's episode. So without further ado, David, it's fantastic to have you here. Why don't we start off with you giving us a little introduction about who you are and what is it you do?
Thanks, Gary. It's great to be here. I'm David Young. I'm the founder and CEO of Federated Computer. I've been in startups for a long, long time, and I'm excited to talk with you about what we're doing.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's really great to have you here. We're going to dive into a lot about what it is, where you've been, and how you've grown a company. So, as you say, you've been in this for a while. So, David, why don't you take us back? What is the origin behind your entrepreneurial journey? What led you to where you are today?
Well, that's an interesting question because, you know, in college, I did not do business. I didn't do computer science. Actually, my education in college was in Greek and Latin. So I did classics. And I love classics. I love ancient languages. I did a lot of work in a Greek poet named Pindar. And I really thought that, you know, my future was going to be in academia. I was on my way to do a PhD at the University of Chicago when a Wall Street bank reached out to me and said, hey, you know, we like to hire sort of people like you, people that know nothing about finance, maybe know nothing about technology, but you've got some good grades. Why don't you come and work for us? And so I ended up working for this Wall Street bank that turned out had a group that invested in startups. It was sort of an amazing entrepreneurship or apprenticeship, I guess would be a better word. And I learned everything about technology. I learned everything about banking. You know, the first few months of that job, I was scared that, you know, any moment they're going to come around the corner and fire me because I was an imposter. I didn't know what I was doing, but I sort of worked really hard, got to know the business. And as I said, we started doing investments in technology companies, and I was able to lead many of those. But part of my job was not just to make the investment, but to help that company integrate with our needs. And that's how I got into startups and ended up going from there, doing a few other startups out in Silicon Valley, moving from New York to California. I'm doing a few startups there. One of the startups I think a lot of people know about is a company called Joyent, and which was one of the first cloud computing companies. And, you know, the rest is history, as they say. I love startups. I love, you know, sort of being at the ground floor. I'm most happy when it's a small team trying to figure out a product for people to use and sort of get that early connection between your idea about a product and customers and sort of seeing how they're using it, seeing how they're misusing it. And that's really, really exciting to me.
Yeah, and absolutely no doubt. And, you know, I'm a great fan of startups as well. And that passion that comes out right from the very beginning, they can see a very, very clear outcome of what they want to achieve. But everybody's different. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the company you have right now and what is the problem you're solving for people? And who is your really ideal client that you serve?
Yeah, so most of the successful startups I've been involved in, you know, I'm trying to solve a problem that I have. You know, at Joyent, there was no cloud. There was no data center as a service. So I created a company and built that company. More recently, I noticed that it's hard to really use open source alternatives to proprietary software. So we all love SaaS software. In fact, you and I are talking, your listeners may not know this, but we're talking through a browser. And we're using this amazing video conferencing and recording software through a browser. But what's happened is the fragmentation across the different solutions that people have to buy, whether it's Google Workplace or Zoom or CRM software, all the different various software, it's great to get it through the browser. You know, it's a lot of little silos that are not connected and very expensive. And so, you know, a few years ago, I started to think about a new company, a new idea. As I said, I love startups. I want to be in startups. But I found that, you know, you really have to spend a lot to sort of put all this software together. And I thought, would there be an opportunity to do this using open source? And the answer turns out to be a resounding yes. And so what Federated Computer, my current company, does is we bring together all the great open source SaaS software, integrate it so that there's a single place to manage users and storage and security and backups and all the rest. But instead of typically spending $300 to $400 per month per employee, we sell this for, you know, unlimited users per company for $120 a month. So it's a really big disruption. And so far, customers really like what they're seeing.
Yeah, absolutely, no doubt. I mean, especially if, you know, we all know that with companies looking to buy something, a product or a service, it's usually one of the three things: make us money, save us money, or keep us out of jail. And you definitely fit that middle one of saving an awful lot of money for them so they could use that for different things. So you've, as you said, David, you've been in the tech space for quite a while, the startup space for quite a while. What have you seen evolve, particularly in the tech landscape, that maybe others might have missed?
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is sort of the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, there's sort of typically in product in Silicon Valley, if I could just use that as a sort of generalized term for the whole product-based software business, you know, there's always a lot of hype. And, you know, whether we're talking about Web 2, you know, AI now, or these sorts of things, there's always sort of a certain hype cycle that you have to deal with as an entrepreneur. And, you know, what I've learned is that you sort of want to stick to your knitting and sort of understand your product, understand how your product, what the sort of unique hill is that you're solving for customers. You don't want to have a lot of hills. You know, startups, it's hard to sort of create a product that's going to be a mountain range. You want to have a single hill. You want to do that exceptionally well, and you want to connect that to customers. And so when you sort of focus in that way, what I've learned, even though there's so many opportunities to become distracted, or, you know, just a little bit of extension, or, you know, sales folks come back and say, you know, they'd love the product, but they just need this. You know, if you stay focused, then that sort of helps you deliver the product that customers are actually going to be able to operate on and be very successful. That would be some of the things sort of from a general business standpoint that I've learned during my time in our industry.
Yeah, I love that analogy about helping them get up a hill. You don't necessarily have to help them get up the mountain, because that just creates more hard work for both concerned. But helping them get up one hill, and then another hill, and then another hill, then eventually you can actually help that client get to where they want to get to. But the key thing is the focus, right?
Yeah. So it's you know, one of my business heroes is a fellow named Herb Kelleher, and he was the founder of Southwest Airlines. And I remember him talking about, well, who's the competition for Southwest Airlines? And you might think, oh, well, it's American Airlines, or, you know, Southwest had this long rivalry with another airline that's now out of business called Braniff. But in fact, Herb Kelleher had the insight that our competition is people driving. And so they made it so as convenient, low cost, you know, they really sort of focused in on that, and that drove the product at Southwest Airlines. And so at Federated Computer, we have the same problem where we need to sort of figure out, well, who's our competition? What exactly is the thing that we're solving for customers? Is it price? Are we saving them money? Are we giving them convenience? And so, you know, that's the thing that we try and hone in on and do that really exceptionally well. And then there's ancillary things that sort of come around that as far as customer service, how you communicate to customers, how you help them on board. But this is something that I've found to be very, 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 very helpful. And it's not always obvious when you're starting out as a startup exactly what your product is. You sort of have to fumble around with that. But that's the exciting thing. You know, that you're not just a single contributor, you're working with a few colleagues, you all sort of have a really good say. Maybe, hopefully, you've had some experience together building companies and products like this together. And then you take that to customers. And without ego, you sort of get the response, get the feedback, see what they're doing. And by the way, the best, in my experience, the best feedback is people paying money. You know, if people, you know, if you're giving it away for free, it's really hard to get good signal versus, you know, actual sort of, yeah, I'm paying money, so I really care about this motion with you. And
yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit later. So I'm going to cut you off before you go down that hole, because that is something I really want to get into a little bit later on about the free versus the pay. You know, that's really important. You know, there's going to be people listening here that are, you know, they think, right, now we have this idea, we got what we want to do, How have you grown? We're a startup. You know, there's a lot of noise out there. So let's talk a little bit about growth. What's actually working for you? I know you have a very wide space that you work in. What's actually working for you right now in terms of generating leads and sales?
Yeah, so we sell over the internet. So we find ways to, you know, talk on podcasts, get our message to customers on Google, on LinkedIn, on X. You know, most of our customers today are small, medium businesses. So we're looking for the place where the decision makers are, you know, where they're hanging out, where they're looking for advice. And in order to do that well, you need to know who the person is that's purchasing, or who's the person that's recommending your product to the person who's going to write the check or, you know, approve the credit card expense. Now, it doesn't have to be that way because, you know, actually Federated Computer is so inexpensive that people can try us and, you know, sort of kick the tires maybe as a team or something like that. So I do like to have a product where, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a big 3, 4, 5 month decision-making process. And I think that's the value of being able to sell over the internet. But you still want to, for the sake of your content and how you reach your customer, sort of understand who the value, the little hill that we talked about, who's going to care most about that hill? And we want to talk to that person as much as possible.
Yeah, and that's a really key point, isn't it? It's understanding exactly who your client is, your ICP is, and making sure that you have something that they can get into with a minimal amount of fuss. So that being said, you've got paying customers all around the world. And you've probably jumped the gun on this already, but it doesn't matter. We can jump into this right now. What did you do? What was the decision you made earlier on that helped you gain real traction?
You know, it's always difficult because, you know, I would say that we focused on initially, because we're an open source company, on the benefits of open source. So we went out and we talked about privacy. We talked about flexibility. We talked about those sorts of things. And that got us a group of people that were interested in privacy and flexibility. But it turns out the hill and the principal benefit is price. So these are not sort of separated from each other because the price is so good because of open source. But we sort of figured out how we could connect to people that wanted to adopt open source, had a sort of intuition about adopting the platform that we've built for them, and talk to them initially. You know, at a certain point, you sort of get a network effect where these folks begin to talk about things. And so the person who was maybe the engineering-focused founder who could adopt us because he or she had an insight into the engineering and the viability of open source, now they're at a cocktail party and they begin to talk to the, you know, the small business owner, the lawyer, the doctor, whatever. They have no idea about open source and privacy and all the rest, but that it sort of perks their ears. Oh my goodness, I can go from, you know, $300 per employee per month to $120 for my whole company per month. I'm interested in that because now they begin to understand the sort of price value of the product and what they can do with the savings.
Mm, totally. Yeah. I mean, again, let's stick on price because with a lot of AI, with a lot of SaaS out there, there's a lot of this try before you buy, freebie. Let's get on this one far, this trial. You have turned that on its head. You turn around and go, and you mentioned it quite earlier, if money's a problem, everything's a problem, you know, and if you're not paying, you're not paying attention. You have no free customers at all. You went straight in and said, you're paying for it. Can you talk us your mindset behind that and how it's worked for you?
Yeah, I don't want to seem like some sort of business saint where, you know, I always do the right thing. I mean, in the early days of Federated, you're always tempted by free customers. I mean, you know, and there's going to be reasons potentially to have those free customers. Maybe you're raising a round of financing and your investors care more about people kicking the tires than they do about revenue. And so we did some free. We did some free at Federated. I'm willing to admit it. But none of those customers survive because mm-hmm. there's just a lot of churn in a free customer base. They're just sort of going to look at it. And the attention span you have with people that aren't paying is so short. They're going to come in, they're going to sort of judge you based on, you know, things that may or may not be valid. And that doesn't mean that, you know, in the future we couldn't come up with a valid way to do free for customers, you know, to sort of give them a taste. But what we really wanted to focus on is, you know, one is sort of the customer that is looking for the sort of burning hair issue. And that's another way to describe the hill, which is who's the customer out there that needs your product so bad, you know, that of course they're going to pay. It's not a question. I mean, and you can offer, you know, maybe this is free, but you can say, look, if you don't like it, we'll give you your money back. And so that's a little bit of a different sort of spin on the free customer. But you know, you're really sort of upfront saying, we think we have a great service, that it works. We're going to get you through it. We'd like you to sort of make a similar commitment with that monthly fee, and, you know, and we work it out. You know, I think a product that is well-crafted solves the burning hair customer problem. You're going to have no problem charging, and you're going to get better signal, better feedback from those customers than your free customers.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very good point, is it? Go on, Dave.
Yeah, with the caveat. Now, our business model is not an advertising model. So, you know, if you have an advertising model, there's some model where the data of the customers, that's actually your business, then forget everything I've said, because then you want to acquire as many customers as possible. You want to watch them. You're going to use their data for training some sort of AI or an advertising model. You know, it's a different business than what we're in.
No, and I think this is a key point, isn't it? So that people who are listening here, that I think the reason why I really wanted you to explain that was because there'll be people here listening and watching who have never actually thought about the challenge of, like you said, those who aren't paying attention, aren't really paying attention that much. And maybe their model could be changed, because we do live in a society, unfortunately, especially within the tech world, we just copy what the other person's doing. That's how they do it. That's how we're going to do it. So right. Just to get a different perspective and say, oh, I never thought about concentrating on those who can pay, you know, if my business model makes it work that way. And that's a very, very key point to make, I think.
Yeah. And I think, you know, businesses that start and say, well, we're just going to acquire a bunch of eyeballs, and then they try and transition to paid, that's a really tough sort of road to travel, because, hey, wait, you were giving this away and now you want to charge for it? What changed? And so then you get into some of these sort of silly, well, we're going to charge you for things that, frankly, in my opinion, should be free or should be included. You're not really giving them any. So you have to be very careful. And I don't mean to say that this is some sort of universal rule. Like I said, we tried free at Federated. We found out that those people didn't pay attention. They didn't really care. So we focused on paid customers.
Yeah, that's a good point. So yeah, for those who are listening, can your model wear the paid model in some shape or form? You know, if it does, perhaps then you should give that a go. So let's shift a little bit now onto, obviously, before we can have customers, we need to do marketing. We need to do the lead generation side of it. How are you approaching, David, you know, with all your years' experience, how are you approaching founder-led marketing, you know, to make sure that you're getting your passion, your voice, your message out there?
Yeah, so, you know, in that respect, and I have to admit, this is the least favorite part of a startup for me. I love building products. And this is, you know, I'm not unusual. You know, you love sort of staying in the product and tinkering with it and moving buttons around and this and that. But at the end of the day, you have to go out there and you have to ask a customer, hey, can you look at my product? And if you like it, I'd like you to write me a check or give me a credit card or do, you know, subscribe. And, the way you do that is you just have to get out there and you have to take a lot of risks. You have to miss a lot of times. You got to capture the data as you're missing. You have to don't do that again. Figure out what's working. Figure out what isn't working. And, you know, I'm not an expert, but you need to have good funnels where you understand top of funnel, middle of funnel, bottom of funnel. You understand why the customer's sort of coming through that. And, you know, And the more you understand that sort of journey for the customer, the better. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but it is amazing to me. A lot of startups sort of ignore this. And, you know, one of the things I think we do fairly well at Federated is sort of understand why the customer buys. And so that's why our message has changed from privacy and flexibility. Those are things that are still part of the offering. We haven't taken away privacy and flexibility, but we've put forward. In fact, most customers are driven by this super disruptive price. And they're like, wow, you know, I can really get Federated Computer, and then I get video conferencing that supports up to 500 users. I get email marketing. I get marketing automation. I get all these things for $120 a month. Yes. Well, that's such a disruptive offering that's the thing that sort of brings them in. And then it's up to us to sort of flare them out into sort of the benefits of privacy, the flexibility. Now they can build, you know, using these software tools, they can build something that differentiates their business. But, you know, we had to learn through sort of examining the funnel, all the different messages that we were putting out into the market, you know, what was working, what wasn't.
So that's a really interesting, David, when you talk about finding, when you and I have spoken before, we've talked about finding a repeatable, scalable message. And that changes constantly. And it's a
Absolutely.
Journey. It's
yeah.
always never kind of, it's a constant, you're always on the road, the journey for it. Where are you on that journey, do you believe now? You know, as you say, you've moved from one to now price. It is a continuous journey. Where do you think you are on that journey? And what's been so surprisingly hard about this constant iteration?
Well, so there's two things here, which is the first thing I would say is you're absolutely right, Gary. You can't sort of set it and forget it. You constantly have to be engaged. And as I said, for a founder, this can be difficult because sometimes our sort of natural predilections when it comes to day-to-day tasks is not this sort of thing. So one of the things we've done at Federated is we have an expert on staff that sort of helps us through this. This is his passion. And we're very data-driven. We sort of, as much as possible, we do A/B testing. We do sort of different messages. We look at ways to sort of optimize the funnel so that we can sort of give people better information. You know, our content, this is a trap that I find myself falling into all the time where I write content that makes perfect sense to me, but a customer looks at it and they're like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. You know, so you have to be very careful about that. And you have to sort of make sure that, you know, you're writing in the right way. You can also see I'm a gray-haired person. So I have to make sure that I can speak effectively to the 25-year-old small business owner and speak in the way that she understands, you know, the offering. And this requires a lot of trial and error and a lot of sort of capture and bringing this data back into the conversation so we can make the right decisions and the right offerings to people as they're going across the internet. I also want to mention that all the platforms that we advertise on, you know, maybe with the exception of podcasts, but certainly with Google, the rules are constantly changing because these are businesses that are optimized for getting as much of our ad budget out as possible. So in other words, not to sound like a crazy conspiracy theorist, but they're not super motivated. They want me to be successful enough, like a casino. They want me to have fun playing the table games, if you will, but not too fun, right? Not too successful. Yeah. So that's okay, you know, whether that's true in fact or not. What I've found is you really have to sort of keep on top of these rules, and you know, there's constantly people trying to game the rules. So it's a full-time job, but this is something that is really, really required to be successful today, marketing on the internet.
Yeah, so let's talk, you've talked about, David, what has worked for you and great. What hasn't worked for you? Let's talk about that because, you know, we've all tried stuff that really just hasn't worked, you know, and you just wish you'd never tried it, but at least it's a learning lesson. What growth strategies that you have looked or that you've used before that you thought might have worked, but have ineffectively just flopped or was very underwhelming?
Yeah, so we were very hopeful for affiliate marketing, you know, go out and find large networks of affinity and then sort of offer the service to these affiliates. And what we found, and I think most of this is we're just a little too early for it. I don't think it's going to be something that will always be a failure for us. But in those early days, and we're still early, we're not, you know, we have a long ways and much more growth to go ahead. Those affiliates don't really care about the product in the same way you do. You're sort of just another logo or another product on the shelf. And it's great to be on the shelf, but you still have to sort of figure out a way to drive traffic, drive engagement, and the affiliate doesn't get it done for you 100%. Now we have found with a product like Federated that we can sell to other networks. So, you know, think here like, you know, like a hosting company or someone like that, where they're actually looking for products to sort of differentiate their own sort of product mix for their own customers. So you sort of work around that. And again, you have to have a lot of conversations. You got to listen, you got to look at the data, you got to see what's working, because there's only so many of us at Federated. We don't have unlimited time. We don't have unlimited resources, and do more of what's working. hopefully you have something working and do a lot less of what's not working.
Yeah, I think that's a really key thing, is being data-driven, isn't it? Looking at the data, not just for your product or your service, but for how you're getting go-to-market, you know, the how you're getting your message out there, and looking at the data, what works and what not. We've talked about, you know, you've had great growth, you've got growth continuing to where you want it to get to. What would you say is the biggest challenges? Like, every other company has challenges. What is the biggest challenge you are facing right now in the scaling of Federated that you can see in front of you?
You know, it's nothing unusual. You know, it's just sort of finding new people to join us at Federated, making sure they're, you know, the right cultural fit, technical fit, sort of outlook, and then, you know, continuing to bring new products into customers, figuring out ways to make customers, you know, continue to make them really successful on the product. And that's a scale. And, you know, we want to grow, but we don't want to sort of scale our staffing sort of linearly to the growth. We want to sort of do that programmatically and from a product standpoint. And you always have, especially at a software company, you always have the temptation to do sort of a bunch of consulting stuff to sort of, well, it's revenue, but it's not quite exactly our hill, but geez, we need revenue, don't we? And so, you know, those sorts of things. I think it can be done. I think a company like Palantir has shown us that if you have a focus on taking everything and bringing it back into the product, and you're really rigorous about that, you can be very successful. But those are some of the things that have been challenges for us.
Okay. Yeah. It's pretty standard challenges. You're getting the right team members to join you at the right time. So you're not having got people on the bench where you don't need them, but they're actually, they're being a useful part in your company to grow.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, it never stops. I mean, that's the thing about a startup is you can work on your startup all the time. It can go on forever because there's so many things to do. But the benefit of a startup is I am joined by colleagues that think about it in the same way. And so it's not like being at a big company where I'm sort of doing my little thing and then I check out it whenever, and then Sally's across the cubicle aisle from me and she's doing the same thing. We don't really, at the end of the day, give a damn about the company. I'm very lucky because I get to work with other people that really care deeply about the mission and the company called Federated Computer.
Yeah, you're very, very lucky. I said, if you've got some great people around you, then it just makes that journey that we discussed before far easier to take on board, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I do startups.
Yeah. So you've been around some. I've got this sort of final question for you, David. You know, you've already dropped so many insights, and I'm so grateful for that. But finally, you know, being around the startups as many as you have, what do you wish more tech founders understood about growth of a company? And what is really one thing they should really just stop doing?
They should stop doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you have to have confidence in your instincts. And, you know, this is going to go a little bit against sort of the purpose of our conversation, but you really need to have confidence in your instincts. And that's a tough thing to do when things aren't working. You know, so, you know, as long as you have that sort of hill, that product, and you really defined it down, and you listen to those couple customers that are willing to pay, you need to sort of stick with that, and you have, you know, sort of figure that out. Now, it may be that you're unlucky, and I've had these situations where there is that connection between product and customer, and the timing's just wrong. You know, it's just too early, or the zeitgeist, the sort of culture out there is just not ready to accept it. But at a certain point, you know, you will be right, and hopefully, you know, there's a little bit of luck on your side, and you get that done. So I didn't really answer your question about what you should stop doing. Never stop doing your startup. Never stop dreaming about what you can build. You know, maybe be a little bit nicer to the people that are around you. You know, this is more of a team sport. In fact, it is a team sport. It's not a command and control sport. And if you don't have people that can understand the business just as well as you, you may not have the right people with you. But there's nothing better than being a tech founder and this opportunity for us to create products and bring them to market. We're all very, very lucky to be able to have this opportunity.
Well, I think that's a fantastic place to end this episode, you know, on that note. So, David, if people want to get hold of you, want to know more about Federated, what is the best way they can do that?
Go to the website, please, which is federated.computer. Simple website address, federated.computer. I'd love to, you know, if anyone wants to reach out, you know, just send me an email to david@federated.computer and I'll try and get back to each and every one of you. Happy to talk about what we're doing at Federated or even what you're doing at your startup.
Well, I'll make sure that that link is there in the show notes for them so they can just do a direct link and straight through to you. So David, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for your time and sharing your insights. You dropped some really good sort of truth bombs there. And I think that listeners will go, yeah, didn't think of it that way. That's a really good way of looking at it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gary. Have a great, great week.
I certainly will do. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on yet another episode of the Growth Focus podcast. And no doubt, like me, you got your brain thinking with what some of the stuff that David said. And if that's the case, please make sure you like, please ensure you comment so that other people can see what you've learned from this particular episode as well. But more importantly, as always, please share this episode. If you think there's some stuff that David has shared that other entrepreneurs and other founders and other startups can benefit from, please make sure you share this so that we can all be successful and grow together. So until next time, make sure you keep striving hard, make sure you are profitable. We shall see you on the next episode. Bye-bye.